Welcome to day 280 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and I'm so happy that you have joined me today. We are reading in the New Testament, and today's reading will take us through Matthew chapter 8 and Mark chapter 2. Now, don't be alarmed because we didn't yet cover Matthew 5 through 7, but remember that we are reading in chronological order, so the different portions of the gospel that correlate with one another are lined up together, so we'll get back to those other chapters, I promise you. So today we are reading from the Amplified Translation, and then tomorrow we will switch over for a week to the New American Standard Bible, but beginning at Matthew chapter 8, starting at the first verse in the Amplified Translation. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great throngs followed him. And behold, a leper came up to him and prostrating himself, worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you are able to cleanse me by curing me. And he reached out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed by being cured. And instantly his leprosy was cured and cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell nothing about this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded for a testimony to your healing and as an evidence to the people. As Jesus went into Capernaum, a centurion came up to him, begging him and saying, Lord, my servant boy is lying at the house paralyzed and distressed with intense pains. And Jesus said to him, I will come and restore him. But the centurion replied to him, Lord, I am not worthy or fit to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant boy will be cured. For I also am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard him, he marveled and said to those who followed him, who adhered steadfastly to him, conforming to his example in living and if need be in dying also, I tell you truly, I have not found so much faith as this with anyone, even in Israel. I tell you, many will come from east and west and will sit at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons and heirs of the kingdom will be driven out into the darkness outside, where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. Then to the centurion Jesus said, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant boy was restored to health at that very moment. And when Jesus went into Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying ill with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began waiting on him. When evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick. And thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took, in order to carry away, our weaknesses and infirmities and bore away our diseases. Now Jesus, when he saw the great throngs around him, gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. And a scribe came up and said to him, Master, I will accompany you wherever you go. And Jesus replied to him, Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have lodging places, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Another of the disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury, care for till death, my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and leave the dead in sin to bury their own dead. And after he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly Behold, there arose a violent storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered up by the waves. But he was sleeping. And they went and awakened him, saying, Lord, rescue and preserve us. We are perishing. And he said to them, Why are you timid and afraid, O you of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great and wonderful calm, a perfect peaceableness. And the men were stunned with bewildered wonder and marveled, saying, What kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he arrived at the other side in the country of the Gadarenes, two men under the control of demons went to meet him, coming out of the tombs, so fierce and savage that no one was able to pass that way. And behold, they shrieked and screamed, What have you to do with us, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the appointed time? Now at some distance from there, a drove of many hogs was grazing, and the demons begged him, If you drive us out, send us into that drove of hogs. And he said to them, Be gone. So they came out and went into the hogs, and behold, the whole drove rushed down the steep bank into the sea and died in the water. The herdsmen fled and went into the town and reported everything, including what had happened to the men under the power of demons. And behold, the whole town went out to meet Jesus. And as soon as they saw him, they begged him to depart from their locality. Mark chapter 2. And Jesus, having returned to Capernaum after some days, it was rumored about that he was in the house, probably Peter's. And so many people gathered together there that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door, and he was discussing the word. Then they came, bringing a paralytic to him, who had been picked up and was being carried by four men. And when they could not get him to a place in front of Jesus because of the throng, they dug through the roof above him. And when they had scooped out an opening, they let down the thickly padded quilt or mat upon which the paralyzed man lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, their confidence in God through him, he said to the paralyzed man, Son, your sins are forgiven you and put away. That is, the penalty is remitted and the sense of guilt removed, and you are made upright and in right standing with God. Now some of the scribes were sitting there, holding a dialogue with themselves as they questioned in their hearts, Why does this man talk like this? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins, remove guilt, remit the penalty, and bestow righteousness instead, except God alone? And at once, Jesus, becoming fully aware in his spirit that they thus debated within themselves, said to them, Why do you argue, debate, reason about all this in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, Your sins are forgiven and put away? Or to say, Rise, take up your sleeping pad or mat and start walking about and keep on walking? But that you may know positively and beyond a doubt that the Son of Man has right and authority and power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I say to you, arise, pick up and carry your sleeping pad or mat and be going on home. And he arose at once and picked up the sleeping pad or mat and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and recognized and praised and thanked God, saying, We have never seen anything like this before. Jesus went out again along the seashore, and all the multitude kept gathering about him, and he kept teaching them. And as he was passing by, he saw Levi, Matthew, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, Follow me. Be joined to me as a disciple, side with my party. And he rose and joined him, as his disciple and sided with his party and accompanied him. And as Jesus, together with his disciples, sat at table in his, Levi's, house, many tax collectors and persons definitely stained with sin were dining with him, for there were many who walked the same road, followed with him. And the scribes, belonging to the party of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with those definitely known to be especially wicked sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat and drink with tax collectors and notorious sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are strong and well have no need of a physician, but those who are weak and sick. I came not to call the righteous ones to repentance, but sinners, the erring ones, and all those not free from sin." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were observing a fast, and some people came and asked Jesus, "Why are John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fasting, but your disciples are not doing so?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests fast, abstain from food and drink while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast in that day. No one sews a patch of unshrunken new goods on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and the rent tear becomes bigger and worse than it was before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost and the bottles destroyed. But the new wine is to be put in new, fresh wineskins." One Sabbath he was going along beside the fields of standing grain, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pick off the grains. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not permitted or lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never even read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were accompanying him? How he went into the house of God when Abiathar was the high priest and ate the sacred loaves set forth before God, which it is not permitted or lawful for any but the priest to eat, and how he also gave them to those who were with him?" And Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made on account and for the sake of man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." This is the end of today's scripture reading. As I mentioned previously when we opened in the book of Matthew, that the Gospel of Matthew has often been referred to as the Gospel of the Kingdom of God, or you could say the Gospel where we are presented with the King. In fact, the Old Testament referring to the Messiah has one reference that says, "Behold your King," and that is literally what we see in the book of Matthew. We see Jesus as King, one with authority and one with power. And as we begin to read today in chapter 8, we begin to get a glimpse of the miracles of the kingdom of God. That God in Christ had authority, had power, he had kingly power. And everything bowed the knee to the King, including demons, disease, and even death. So Jesus' authority as King is really clearly demonstrated in the Gospel of Matthew. And today's demonstration of the miracles of the kingdom that we heard about today, including the healing of the centurion's servant just by Jesus' speaking the word of healing, the healing of the paralytic that was dropped down before him in the house because his four friends were so determined to see him healed and had so much faith that if Jesus had that man in front of him, he would rise up off that mat and walk away healed. The miracles of the kingdom were being displayed so clearly before the people, as demonstrated here in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus has authority. We know this. We see this. We're reading it. But Jesus wants us as his followers and his disciples to be partakers of the miracles of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is bringing. How does a person like you or me participate in the miracles of the kingdom of God? We get great insight today in the story of the healing of the centurion's servant. First of all, let's remember that a centurion was a Roman soldier who had authority. He was over a regiment of 100 soldiers. Secondly, you realize that he's a non-Jewish person, so he's a Gentile. And here he is coming to Jesus, a Jew, someone who is a rabbi or teacher in this Jewish culture, of which the Romans were the occupying force and the colonizers of the Palestine at that time. So we see someone who's literally willing to condescend, because the Romans felt themselves to be quite superior to the Jews, and he humbled himself to come and to plead with Jesus to heal his servant boy. Well, first of all, another aspect of this centurion's character is revealed by that statement. Servants, or slaves essentially at that time, were treated as less than human beings, and yet you have a man who is a high-ranking official in the army who treats his servant boy as if he's a family member. He's concerned for his health. He's worried about him. He's cares for him to be healed. The same story recorded in the Gospel of Luke, which we will hear shortly, refers to this servant of the centurion as one who is dear to him. So we know that this centurion, this soldier, this leader of men in the Roman army, had a tender heart. He also had a humble heart. He was willing to humble himself before Jesus to ask for his supernatural intervention. We also know that he must have believed that Jesus had power because he came to him. He must have heard the stories, or possibly he might have witnessed because some of the healings that Jesus performed, because he was in the area and Jesus was teaching crowds of people, and often the soldiers would also stand around listening, not only to keep crowd control, but because they also were fascinated with this man of miracles. The other important thing to know about this particular centurion is that, and you will hear this when we get to the account in the Gospel of Luke, is that he had a heart for the Jewish people, or at least a sensitivity to the Jewish religion, because in Luke's account, it says that the elders of the synagogue pleaded with Jesus to do this thing for the centurion, heal his servant, because he had built a synagogue for them to worship in. So we have a man who's quite unusual. He's a military man, yet he has a tender heart. He's the conquering nation's authority in the area, and yet he is sensitive to the people and builds them a synagogue for them to worship in. He treats his slave or servant boy as a family member, almost like a son, and seeks out healing for him. So we have a very complex individual here. But the part about this man that is the most amazing and that absolutely impressed Jesus is the aspect that I want to bring to your attention, because it is this aspect of the centurion's character that impresses Jesus so much. Here's what happened. The centurion begs Jesus, "Lord, my servant boy is lying at the house, paralyzed, distressed with intense pain." Jesus responds to him immediately and says, "I will come and restore him. I'm coming, I'll heal him." But the centurion's reply was astonishing. "Lord, I am not worthy or fit to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant boy will be cured." Let us stop there for a moment. First of all, he honors Jesus. He respects Jesus. He says, "I'm not even fit to have you come under my roof." So you see someone who has true humility and also honors Jesus as a holy man or as someone anointed by God. We're not quite sure what his thoughts were about Jesus. Maybe he recognized that he was the Messiah the Jews had spoken of so often and were waiting for. Whichever it was, he had respect and honor for Jesus to the point that he felt like he couldn't even have him come into his house. And then the second part of this, and the part that impressed Jesus the most, was the following words. The centurion says, "But only speak the word, and my servant boy will be cured, for I also am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard him, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "I tell you truly, I have not found so much faith as this with anyone, even in Israel." And then Jesus turns to the centurion and says, "Go, it shall be done for you as you have believed." And the servant boy was restored to health at that very moment. What just happened? Jesus demonstrated the kingdom of God in action. He demonstrated the power and the authority of the king. When the king speaks, things happen. When the king commands, things are done. When the king orders, that thing takes place immediately without delay. So we see the operation of the kingdom of God. We see the king operating in his kingdom, taking authority over the natural conditions of man. And in this particular case, it's the area of healing of the physical body. Jesus was so impressed with the centurion because he understood the authority Jesus had. He understood that if the man, the king, of who had authority spoke, the thing the king said would come to pass. He compared himself in the sense that he said, "I'm a person, I'm a man subject to authority with soldiers under me." And he said, "If you speak the word, my servant boy will be cured." So he had this amazing revelation about authority, but especially a revelation about the authority Jesus had over sickness and disease. And the beauty of all of it was, and the part that Jesus was so blessed by, was the fact that this man believed that if Jesus said it, it would come to pass. He had absolutely no doubt. "Only speak the word, and my servant boy will be cured." It was a statement of confident faith, unshakable faith in the word and the power and the authority of Jesus on the earth over sickness and disease. Do you have that kind of faith in Jesus's words? I tell you, the kingdom of God and the miracles of the kingdom, which belong to the sons and daughters of God who are in his kingdom, operate through faith. They are received by faith. They are released by faith. Jesus said about the centurion, "I tell you truly, I have not found so much faith as this with anyone, even in Israel." He was telling his disciples, here is an example of faith. This is what faith is: trust, unshakable confidence in the word of Jesus, in the word of God himself. This is what we are called to. This is what will release the miracles of the kingdom of God in our lives and in the lives of others. This man understood the authority Jesus had over the natural realm. That authority is still present in the earth today, but it has been given to us as his disciples, his followers. When we get to Luke chapter 10, we're going to hear these words from Jesus's mouth. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. So he demonstrated that power and that authority in front of his disciples when he spoke the word that would heal the centurion's servant without him ever even going there, seeing the young man, laying hands upon him, or anything like that. Instead, it was just authority through the spoken word saying that he would be healed. Faith is what releases the power of God today, just as it did back when Jesus walked on the earth. We are not powerless. We've been given power from heaven to operate in the name of Jesus and with the Word of God. That is why you will hear such an emphasis in my everyday Bible on trust and faith in God's Word and faith to believe that that same power that is resident in God's Word is available to us today. Just as it was available when Jesus walked on the earth, only he has transferred that authority to those who have followed him. In the book of Mark, we will also hear these signs shall follow those who believe. It wasn't just these signs will follow the 12 disciples that I chose while I walked on the earth. No, these signs shall follow those who believe. And it went on to list casting out demons, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, and other miraculous supernatural kingdom signs. There are miracles of the kingdom of God that still exist today. They exist and are available for us to walk in them through faith, by faith. We can access them by faith. We can operate in them by faith. We have to have trust and confidence in what God has given to us through Jesus Christ, through the power of his name and through the power of his word and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is God's call on our lives today. The centurion, this Gentile, this non-Jewish person who had faith in the words of Jesus, impressed Jesus so much that he said, I've not found so much faith as this with anyone, even in Israel. We want to be among that group that has much faith in the words of Christ, takes Jesus at his word, and is willing to access the miracles of the kingdom by faith, just like the centurion did. He believed and he received. And Jesus specifically said to him, and it's so powerful, he said to him, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. Do you believe in the word of God? Do you believe that God's word is the same, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as the book of Hebrews teaches us? Jesus is the same. His word is the same. Jesus is the living word. He has given us his spoken word, the word that we find in the scriptures, the Logos word, but he also gives us Rhema words through the Holy Spirit. But his word is powerful and it's available and it's accessible to us by faith. I want to encourage you as you go through your week to take hold of what the word of God promises to you personally, that Jesus is your healer, that the Lord is our God, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, that God is our provider, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide, the Lord who will see to it, and all the promises that we find in both the Old and the New Testament that apply to our personal lives, and take hold of them by faith. Believe, like the centurion did, that whatever has been said by God himself is available and accessible by faith. I want to encourage you with the words Jesus said to that centurion as you go into your week. Go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. God bless you and give you a victorious week.